Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
All right, good morning, good morning. Glad you guys are here. If you're a guest, my name's Trey Kelly. I'm the lead pastor here. Thanks. Thanks for joining us in the room. Thanks for joining us online. Today we are wrapping up a series we've been in for the last few weeks called Leap of Faith. And so if today's your first week, today's your first time, maybe you've been out for a few weeks, before we get started, I want to encourage you, man, download our app at some point today. It's a great way to stay connected with our church. But also you can go back and you can see where we've been. This is week four of the series, and we've been studying this man named Elijah. Elijah was a prophet of God. And we're studying Elijah because Elijah was a man of faith. And we can learn from his life how we can walk a life of faith as well. How we can do difficult things for God, how we can take steps, how we can even take bold steps in obedience. Because if you want to follow God with your life, eventually you're going to find yourself with a difficult decision. It's not always easy. And so God in his goodness gives us story after story after story of men and women just like us who took those steps. And so we can learn how to do that. And so over the last few weeks, we've learned a couple of things. We've learned that God does provide. Elijah showed us how we can trust in God's provision. Elijah showed us that we can trust in God's power. And if you were here last week, you know, Elijah taught us the incredibly important lesson we all should have learned in kindergarten: sometimes you need a nap. Last week, April Colquitt just killed it as she told us the story of Elijah just running too fast, running too hard. He's exhausted, doesn't know what to do. And God in his goodness is like, bro, why don't you take a nap? Why don't you get some food? And that's exactly what he does. And it's a good reminder for all of us. It's a good reminder for me because I don't know if you're like me, but I often live my life believing I am too busy to rest. Well, what God taught us last week is if we want to live a life of faith, we're actually too busy not to rest. God has too much for us not to be able to take some time away and rest. And it's really cool because it's in the resting that we actually learn to trust. Because that's where God reminds us, oh, yeah, he's in charge, not me. And I tell you that because we're going to pick up right where April left off last week. Because Elijah actually had two problems. The first problem was that he was exhausted, which we can all relate to. The second problem, which we're going to discover in just a moment, is something I believe every single person in this room either has struggled with, is struggling with, or will struggle with at some point in your life, especially if you decide to live a life of faith. Especially if you decide you want to pursue God with your life. One of the things I love about our church is that there's a very good chance you could be here today and you're not sure what you think about God. You're not sure what you think about Jesus. You've heard some things. You're interested, but you're not committed. You're not sure you're ready to jump all in. And hey, man, we designed our church for you. We're so, so glad you're here. And so today you get to kind of hear in advance one of the things, if you do choose to trust Jesus, if you do choose a life of faith, which we hope you do, you're going to get to hear in advance one of the things you're going to struggle with. One of the things me as the pastor of this church struggles with. One of the things every person in this church will struggle with at some point in their lives. Elijah struggles with it. And here's the great thing. God wrote down how to handle it. And so what I want to do today is I want to jump straight into the story because I wanted Elijah to tell you what the problem is. And then we're going to let God show us how to handle it. So if you have your Bibles, you can open them to 1 Kings. That's where we've been with this entire series, 1 Kings chapter 9. If you were here last week, you know, Elijah was tired. Elijah took a nap. Elijah had some food. Elijah left on a journey. That's where we're going to pick back up today. Here's what we're told. So he got up after God was like, bro, you're just tired. Just take a nap, eat some food. He got up, he ate and drank, and the food gave him enough strength to travel for 40 days and 40 nights to Mount Sinai, which is the mountain of God. Now, Mount Sinai is not just any mountain. Mount Sinai is where the God of the universe gave the Ten Commandments to Moses. It's where he gave the instructions for how the nation of Israel would operate as they began part one of his rescue mission for humanity. The nation of Israel was to be a living earthly picture of the power of God. It was meant to draw in the other nations. And at the right time when they were established, God fulfilled his rescue ministry by sending his son, Jesus. The blueprints for that mission were given from God to Moses at Mount Sinai. And that's where Elijah is headed. Because Elijah has some business to take care of. So Elijah gets there, and here's what we're told. There he came to a cave where he spent the night. And the Lord said to him, I love this question. What are you doing here, Elijah? Make no mistake. God knew why he was there. This is kind of like when the doctor reads your chart and then he comes in and says, so why are you here today? It's just because he wants to hear it in your own words. This was an invitation for Elijah. Elijah, what's going on, man? You were tired. We hooked you up. But I can tell something else is going on. Something else is bothering you. I know what it is. I want to make sure you know what it is. So why don't you tell me? And Elijah responds. And when Elijah responds, he shares what he was struggling with, which is something I struggle with and we'll all struggle with at some point in our pursuit of faith. Elijah replied, I have zealously served the Lord God Almighty. I've served you, God. But anytime you start with God, God, I've done this for you, but it's not going to go well. God, I have zealously served you, but the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you. They've torn down your altars. They've killed every one of your prophets. I'm the only one left, God. And now they are trying to kill me too. You know what he's saying? He's saying, God, where are you? He's saying, God, I kept my end of the deal. I went. We read about this 2 weeks ago. I went. And I have said everything you told me to say to King Ahab. I even had this contest. And we defeated the prophets of Baal. You were there, God. You rained down fire. So what gives? Why am I still being hunted? Why can't I go home? Why didn't everything get better? And see, now we've come to the universal struggle. I have, you have, and we all have in our pursuit of God. Because there are going to be times where we do exactly what God tells us to do. Where we walk in faith, we leap. Then we look back. And what we assumed was going to happen after we leaped doesn't happen. And we'd never say it this way. We'd never admit this. But we get a little frustrated because the more you walk in faith, the more you trust God, the more you obey God, the easier it becomes to begin to believe God owes us something. That's what's happening to Elijah. God, did you miss when we took out all those prophets of Baal? Did you miss when we called down fire from the sky? Like, did you miss that? I held up my end of the deal, so why am I still being hunted? I held up my end of the deal, so why didn't everything get better? We do this as Christians. No, God. No. See, I'm a good person. And I love you, and I follow you. So my kid, they're not going to get sick. No, not my kid. No, God, you'll understand. No. See, we go to church, and we pray, and we serve. So our marriage, our marriage is never going to have issues. No, not our marriage. No, God, you don't get it. My business, my business. I'm not supposed to brag about it, but I tithe. I do. You can check the records. So my business is supposed to thrive. I'm not supposed to experience struggle. I'm not supposed to experience heartache. No, God, that's not part of the deal. See, God, you asked me to leap, and I did. But implicit in that was, if I took care of you, you were going to take care of me. See, Elijah is wrestling with the massive disappointment of unmet expectations. He thought when that fire rained from the sky, when they read the prophets, he thought it was over, that everything was going to go back to normal, and it hasn't. And he's wrestling. And the very same thing, if it hasn't happened already, will happen in your life. And it certainly has happened in my life. And so the question that I believe we're to wrestle with today is this one. What should we do when God doesn't do what we want him to do? What do we do when we play the part, when we do everything right, and what we assume God was going to do next isn't what he does? What do we do? Well, the answer is we do exactly what Elijah did. We go to where we know God is, and we tell him what's going on. Which is odd, because usually when you are frustrated with someone, the last thing you want to do is talk to that person. But see, that's what Elijah is showing us. And I love the fact that this is recorded in the Bible, because as we're going to see in a moment, God does not rebuke Elijah. He doesn't. He restores Elijah. He says, I can see you're sad. I can see you're hurting. I can see you're broken. Let me help you. And that's why I love that this story is recorded for us, because it is a reminder for us. It is a promise to us that when we have these moments of, man, God, you did not do what I wanted you to do here. Not even remotely close to this isn't what I was asking. This isn't what I was praying for. What is going on? Why didn't you do what I wanted you to do? What he's saying is, yeah. Go and talk to God. Go to him. Tell him exactly how you feel. Don't hold anything back, because side note, he already knows. And then watch what God does to Elijah. He says, hey, Elijah, why don't you go out, get out of the cave. Why don't you go out and stand before me on the mountain? And as Elijah stood there, the Lord passed by. In other words, he was like, hey, Elijah, I'm going to let you experience my presence. A mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose. But, this is important, the Lord was not in the wind. So God invites him, says, hey, come spend some time with me. And then this windstorm comes by, but God wasn't in the windstorm. It keeps going. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. Keep going. And after the earthquake, there was a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And then finally we're told, after the fire, there was the sound of a gentle whisper. Now I'll be super honest with you. The first 5 times I read that passage, and I've heard that passage my entire life, I was like, I don't know what this means. I even talked to some people at the church about it. I was like, what is God trying to tell us here? And then as I was praying and I was studying and I was reading other people and I was studying commentaries, it kind of finally clicked in my head what God was doing. See, Elijah had experienced God doing big things. And what Elijah was missing was the next big thing. And so he was thinking, because there's not a big thing, there is no God. And so what God was showing him is, yeah, man, I can make it. Thunderstorm, I can send fire, I can send an earthquake. Yes, I can move that way, but just because you don't see those things doesn't mean I'm not there. See, Elijah wanted to see all these big moves, all these big things of God, and what God was saying is, if you just get quiet, you'd hear me. Because I'm right here. Elijah, I haven't gone anywhere. I've been with you the whole time, whispering to you that I am with you and that I am for you. And you've allowed your expectations of what should be block you from what is. I'm God, you're not, and I'm here. And so, go back to our question for today. What should we do when God doesn't do what we want him to do? We follow Elijah. We should seek his presence. We should run straight to God in those moments. And if you need to run angry, that's fine. There's another book in the Old Testament called the Book of Psalms. It's literally a book of prayers, most of them written by this guy named David. And you know what David does in a lot of the prayers? He yells at God. It's there for us to know. God's a big God. He knows how we feel. But sometimes disappointment can push us away from God. And so when we find ourselves disappointed with what God's done, when we find ourselves confused, when we find ourselves, God, I thought I did my part. Why didn't you step up? Why didn't this happen? Why didn't this work out? What God says is, why don't you come talk to me about it? Why don't you lean in? Why don't you come seek my presence and spill your guts out? Because as you do that, that vulnerability in you opens you up to hear my voice. It opens you up to hear me remind you, I'm here. And I've always been here. But as we're going to see for Elijah and for most of us, God's presence, while comforting, usually isn't enough to get us out of the disappointment cycle. It wasn't for Elijah. Because this moment happens. And then we're told this. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and he went out and stood at the entrance of the cave, and a voice said again, what are you doing here, Elijah? It's like God's like, okay, now you've experienced me. Let me ask the question again. What are you doing here, Elijah? Unfortunately, Elijah says the exact same thing. I have zealously served the Lord God Almighty, but the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down your altars, and killed every one of your prophets. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. He's just pressing play. See, Elijah is caught in a disappointment loop. Have you ever been caught in a disappointment loop? I will take your laughter as yes. You're familiar with the concept. And you want to move on. Like, you want to get out of it. You know, okay, this is getting ridiculous. But your brain just keeps going through, but I did what I was supposed to do. And he didn't do what he was supposed to do. She didn't do what she was supposed to do. It didn't happen like it was supposed to happen. Why didn't it happen like it was supposed to happen? Why didn't it? I don't understand. That's where Elijah is. He's in God's presence and he feels it, but he can't get himself out of the cycle. He is trapped in his disappointments. He's trapped in his circular logic. Oh, if I had just done this, or if she had just done this, or if we had just done this, can anyone relate to this moment? That's where Elijah is. And I don't want you to miss what God does to invite Elijah to step out of that cycle. He invites Elijah to begin participating again in his mission. Watch this. Then the Lord told him, hey, Elijah, go back the same way you came and travel to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive there, anoint Hazael to be king of Aram. Now, on one level, he's giving Elijah a job. He's giving him a task. We learned this with our toddlers. You want your toddler to get out of the fit? Give them something to do. You know, and they're just getting distracted. Oh, okay, good. Yes, I'll do this. I'll help mom in the kitchen. So he's trying to give Elijah a step to take, but what he's also doing is he's implicitly reminding Elijah, I'm still in charge. Aram was not even a country that was under the rule of the nation of Israel at this point. This is a separate sovereign nation. And God's like, hey, I want you to go pick the new king of that sovereign nation. You know what he's declaring? I'm in charge of everything, Elijah. We don't have to be in charge of it. We don't have to win this thing. I am in charge. And in fact, I want you to go declare to the world that I'm still here and I'm still in charge. And then he says this. He says, and then I want you to go anoint Jehu, the grandson of Nimshi, to be king of Israel. And then I want you to anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, from the town of Abel-Meholah, to replace you as my prophet. In other words, man, I've already got this figured out. I know who's going to lead next door. I know who you want to lead next. I know who's coming to help you. Man, Elijah, take a breath. I know you're tired. Spend some time with me and then get back to work. See, not only should we seek his presence, the next step is we should serve his purpose. Because see, what Elijah had done is Elijah had equated his obedience with God's results. And he had obeyed, and because God hadn't done what he thought he would do, he thought his obedience was in vain. He thought he had no purpose. He thought his God was powerless. I, too, have experienced this in my life. There's been many seasons where I've equated my obedience with God's performance. I've shared this before. When we started this church, I'd say for the first at least year, if not 2 years, maybe 3 years, it's embarrassing to say it, but it was a long time, I equated our Sunday attendance, how many people came, with my spiritual health. Meaning, if we had a good week, if we were up, that was God's way of saying, you were a good Christian this week. You loved people, you were kind, you were loving. And when we had a down week, when not a lot of people came, that was God's way of saying, pick it up. You got to step up. And I would just spend the whole week, all Sunday afternoon going, yeah, I lost my temper. Yeah, I did that. Yeah, I said some dirty words in the car when I got cut off on King's Highway. Yeah. Whew. And man, that's a roller coaster you don't want to get on. That's a roller coaster Elijah was on. Because part of what Elijah was wondering was, did I do something wrong? This is my fault that things aren't fixed yet. Is it my fault that everything didn't get better? Did I not do it right? And see, what God is doing by calling Elijah back into purpose is he's reminding Elijah and he's reminding me and he's reminding all of us, our job is to trust and obey. Our job is to follow. God's job is to handle the results of our obedience. And when we conflate those two, we begin to doubt God and ourselves. And so what God is saying is, Elijah, you feel like we're done because I didn't do exactly what you wanted me to do in that moment. Buddy, I know you're tired, but we're not done. I have so much more for you to do. There's so many more assignments. You have no idea what's waiting for you. See, Elijah couldn't grasp that until he first chose to seek God's presence, but two, when he agreed to serve his purpose. Because Elijah gets up and he says, okay, you're right. I'll go. And as he does, God reminds him of a few other things. And oh, by the way, anyone who escapes from Hazael will be killed by Jehu. And those who escape Jehu, they'll be killed by Elisha. In other words, Elisha, no one's coming to get you, buddy. No one out there is going to be able to take you down. I'm sending help. You're not alone. And in fact, he then reminds him, he opens his eyes to something he had missed completely when he says these. And also, I'll preserve 7,000 others in Israel who have never bowed down to Baal or kissed him. Dude, there's 7,000 other people who haven't turned their backs on me. They're not out to get you. They're with you. Have you noticed that you never feel more lonely than when you're disappointed? You convince yourself you're the only one who's ever struggled. No one else ever has. And your God has abandoned you. Which is why he invites us to share that with him. Now, it's not often that God gives me the opportunity to fully, completely, and totally live out a sermon before I teach it to you. But he so graciously did this just a few weeks ago. I've told the story already about this January. We were skiing, and my middle son, John, broke his thumb while we were skiing. And that meant he was going to miss the beginning of baseball practice, but not any of the season. And so he plays for the JV. David plays for Myrtle Beach Varsity. And so John broke his thumb and went to the doctor, casted it up, waited, everything. It was 2 weeks ago Wednesday, 3 weeks ago Wednesday. Wednesday afternoon, John was getting his cast off. And Danny took him to get his cast off, took it off. Everything was great. Everything was functioning. And he was so excited because he was able to go straight to baseball practice. Like, she literally, we made the appointment. She left the doctor's office, straight to baseball practice. We're done with casts. We're done with broken hands. John gets out of the car. Love you, Mom. Begins to walk to practice. Danielle puts her car in drive. Begins to pull out of the parking lot. Phone rings. It's the trainer for the varsity baseball team. David, we later learn, broke his ring finger on his glove hand. Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. First, we thought it was dislocated. She had to spend hours and hours in the emergency room. Finally figured out it was broken. And at the time, we were told, baseball season gone. And I wish I could tell you that I handled that news with calmness and integrity and the faith that comes from a life of serving God for over 20 years. But I did not. I threw a 3-year-old toddler tantrum. I was by myself and I looked at God and I said, "You're gonna get it, buddy." And I lost it. I mean, I was screaming, "This is unfair. He works so hard. Why would you do this to him? What's wrong with you? We just got," you feel it. Like, I left my body. I was just so angry because he had not done that is not what I wanted God to do. As I'm losing my mind, I get a text message. And I'm not going to tell you who sent it, but I want to read the message to you. Because it's good for you to know sometimes your preacher needs to be preached to. Here's what the text said. "I'm so sorry about David's finger. I sure wish that we knew everything God was doing while he was doing it instead of having to wait and figure it out later." Now, let me explain what that said to me. Number one, I'm so sorry for David. This happened. Yeah, we can all acknowledge, I'm sorry this happened. But the faith implicit in that message, the 100% certainty that while we can't see what God's doing right now, there is no doubt God is moving. There is no doubt God is doing something, and one day we'll understand it. Wish it was right now, but it's not. But in that moment, God whispered to me, "Dude, you can count on me. I know this feels bad. I know it feels bad for Dave. I know it does. But I'm good. You're good. And I'm still working. I'm still moving. And for me, you still got a job to do. So how about you trust me and you get back to work? How about you trust me and you get back in the business of helping other people learn how to follow God?" And then he said, "And oh, maybe you're going to have to tell them this story." I was like, "Okay, God, I will." But see, that's the beauty, not only of God and his presence, that's the beauty of living in community. That's the beauty of having men and women in your life who follow God as well. That's the beauty of having people who know you and who care about you, because I don't know about you, but in my life, so often when I can't hear God, that gentle whisper comes through someone else. It comes through a friend. It comes through a message. It comes through a text. And at that point, we just have to be open to receive it. So, back to the question. What should we do when God doesn't do what we want him to do? I'm telling you, it's going to happen. Because he's God and we're not. And because he sees the big picture and we see one step ahead. And we know what we want and he knows what's best. And so there's going to be a time. God's not going to do what you want him to do. And if it's happening right now, or if you want to be prepared for the future, I pray that you will remember this message from the life of Elijah. What do? Number one, we seek his presence. We don't run from him, we run to him. We go to him and we lay it all down. We put it all on the table. We say exactly what we're frustrated by. We say exactly what's going on. We ask all the questions. We make all the accusations. We lay it at his feet. Because as I said, it is in that openness and vulnerability that the gentle whisper of God can remind us, I'm with you. But we can't stop at his presence. What got Elijah back on track, and what will get all of us back on track, is when we allow the power of his presence to propel us into our purpose. We should serve his purpose. And the cool thing is, that's exactly what Elijah did. Elijah gets up, Elijah goes back. Elijah changes the world. And see, the beauty of this message for me and for you and for all of us is it's a reminder. We are not promised a perfect life. We are not promised a pain-free life. We are not promised a disappointment-free life. We are promised that we will never have to go through that alone. We're promised that even in the darkest moments, the darkest valleys, our good shepherd is with us. So today, if you're disappointed with God, you're in good company. So was Elijah. I've been. Probably everyone in the room has been. And if you are, step one, you're already there. Seek his presence. You're here. You're watching online. Good job. I know it was hard. I know it was difficult to drag yourself out of bed and come today with the disappointment you feel. I understand that. I know. And my prayer today is that the gentle whisper of God's Holy Spirit has begun reminding your soul that he's here, that he's with you, that he's for you, that he hasn't forsaken you, and that he's still working. And our prayer is that as you leave here today, you won't stop at his presence. That as you leave here today, you will leave this room and step into his purpose. Whatever that looks like for you. I don't know what God's next step is for you, but you do. It could be a step of obedience at home, a step of obedience in a relationship. It could be to step into a role here at our church in a volunteer capacity that you've been toying with and you weren't sure how you could make it work. But that step could be what you need to get out of that cycle of disappointment, to be reminded, yeah, God's still good. God's still working. The story's not over yet. See, Elijah wanted to quit in the middle of the story. He didn't realize he was in the middle of the story. He thought it was the end. But God knew. Story's not over yet. And for all of you in the room, story's not over yet. I get that you're disappointed. I was disappointed. Seek his presence. Serve his purpose. Choose to trust even when it doesn't make sense. Because like my buddy said, we don't know what God's doing now, but one day we will. One day we'll be able to look back and go, you are so good. I had no idea. That's what I want for you. That's what God wants for you. That's the value of walking in faith. It's the confidence that one day we'll look back and be reminded again, wow, God is ask what you want. Seek his presence. Serve his purpose. And trust that your story is not over yet. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we love you so much. God, we're just so thankful. Oh, we're so thankful for your son. We're so thankful for Elijah. We're so thankful that you saw fit to write his story down and record it for us so that we can learn how to truly grow our faith, how to be men and women who trust you even when it's difficult. Father, I pray today for the disappointed in the room, for the brokenhearted in the room, for the frustrated in the room, that they will first feel your presence today, that gentle whisper will calm their souls. And two, God, I pray that the presence will propel us to our purpose, that we will get back in the game, that we will walk back into what you have for our life, that we can get back on track, because that is where we begin to see how you've been at work and what you're planning to do. We love you, Father. We're so grateful for your son. It's in his name we pray.